You know that feeling, right? You're maybe three layers deep in a firewall configuration. You're holding this whole complex mental model of the network in your head. You are completely in the zone.
Mm-hmm. And then the phone buzzes.
And it's the absolute death knell of productivity. It's not the CEO saying the server room is on fire.
No, of course not.
It's Susan from accounting, and she can't find this save as PDF button again. Or, you know, the printer is making that awful grinding noise.
And just like that, poof, the mental model is gone. You're not an architect anymore, you're a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the research says it takes, what, something like 23 minutes to get back into that deep focus?
Exactly. And that specific pain point, that is what we're unpacking today. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a set of data and a guide from Technigene.
Right.
It's focused on Orange County, but really this applies to everyone. It tackles what they call the impossible choice for modern IT managers.
It really is an impossible choice. The sources frame it perfectly.
Yeah.
Do you spend your day putting out fires, keeping the lights on, or do you focus on the big projects, the stuff that actually moves the company forward? The reality is you can't do both. Not well.
So today we are diving deep into co-managed IT. And I want to set the stage right away. Our mission is to figure out if this is just, you know, a fancy new name for outsourcing, or if it's a genuinely different model.
Because that's what everyone thinks. They hear co-managed and they immediately hear, they're coming for my job.
Yeah, the elephant in the server room.
But the data we have, it really suggests the opposite. It suggests that if you don't embrace a model like this, you're actually more likely to become irrelevant. It's about being strategic to survive.
Okay, let's get into the nuts and bolts then. The source material uses this sous chef analogy, and I'm usually skeptical of these kinds of metaphors.
We're marking 101, yeah.
But this one, it actually has some legs when you break it down.
It does. It works because it respects the existing hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the full outsourcing model, that's when you're essentially firing the entire kitchen staff and just ordering takeout.
Right, that's the classic MSP model. Here are the keys, call us when something breaks. You lose all that institutional knowledge.
All of it. But co-managed IT, it assumes there's a head chef already in place. That's you, the internal IT manager.
So I get to design the menu, the tech strategy.
You design the menu, you decide the flavor profile, you cook the signature dishes that give the business its edge.
But even the best chef can't peel 500 potatoes and perfectly sear his steak at the same time.
No. If you're peeling potatoes, the steak burns. That's the friction point. The co-managed partner, they are the sous chef. They do the prep work.
Mise en place.
Exactly. They chop the onions, they keep the stations clean, they handle the dinner rush. They don't design the menu. They just make it possible for the head chef to actually execute their vision.
Okay, so let's translate that. What does chopping onions look like in an IT department? Because we've got this list from the source. 25 tasks we take off your plate. And these aren't just busy work.
No, these are the time vampires. The sheer volume is what kills you. Let's start with Tier 1 and Tier 2 support, the help desk.
The classic, have you tried turning it off and on again?
Sounds so trivial, right? But think about that context switching cost we just talked about. If you're the IT director and you're handling password resets, you are burning very expensive hours on very low-value tasks.
And then there's onboarding a new employee. The source flags this as a huge time drain. It's not just creating one account anymore.
Oh, not at all. It's complex. You've got Office 365 licensing, group policies, hardware provisioning, making sure they have access to the right shared drive, but not the HR folder.
And if you mess up the permissions, you've either got a security hole on day one, or you've got a new employee who can't do their job for 2 days.
Exactly. It's high stakes admin work. So if you hand that off, you're not just saving time, you're getting a standardized, repeatable process. You just get an email that says, user is ready to go.
That brings us to the second category of tasks. The source calls them the sleep at night tasks. And this is where that sous chef analogy kind of falls apart.
How so?
Because a sous chef gets to go home, this stuff never stops.
That's a great point. Yeah, this is the 24/7/365 infrastructure layer. And this is what genuinely keeps IT managers up at night. If you're a team of, say, two people, and a server throws a critical error at 3 a.m. on a Sunday,
you're asleep, or you're so burnt out, you just ignore it and hope it's a false positive.
Right. And hackers know that. They love weekends, they love holidays. A co-managed partner with a security operations center, a SOC, they have eyes on the screen when you're sleeping. They're not just waiting for an alert, they're actively looking for anomalies.
I want to drill down on something here, though. The difference between monitoring and remediation.
Yes. crucial distinction.
Because getting an alert at 3 a.m. that says server down doesn't help me sleep if I still have to get out of bed and go fix it.
100%. A good co-managed model is about remediation. They have the authority to restart a service, to isolate an infected laptop, to block a malicious IP address. They handle the incident before it becomes a full-blown crisis.
So you read about it in the morning report instead of living through it at 3 a.m.
That's the goal.
The other big sleep at night task is patch management, which, let's be honest, is the broccoli of the IT world.
Nobody wants to do it, but if you don't, you get ransomware.
Patch Tuesday is a nightmare for a small team. Microsoft drops all these updates. You have to test them, hope they don't break your critical software, then you have to deploy them.
And reboot everyone's machine, which makes the entire company hate you for a day. So what happens? You put it off.
I'll get to it next week.
And that gap, that little window, that's when the bad guys get in. A co-managed team just automates it. It happens overnight. It's just done.
You know, I saw a really specific detail in the source about backups that caught my eye. They didn't just say, we manage your backups. They said, quarterly restore testing.
Yes. That is a huge differentiator.
Why is that so important? I feel like most people see the green check mark on their backup software and just assume they're good to go.
Because a backup file is just a file. And files can get corrupted. I have seen absolute horror stories. A company gets hit by ransomware. They've been backing up for years. They go to restore, and the file is unreadable.
That's a career-ending event.
It is. Restore testing means they actually spin up a virtual server, load your backup, and prove that it boots. They prove the data is there. They simulate the disaster so you know for a fact that the lifeboat actually floats.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's move to the third bucket, specialized expertise. This is where things have gotten so much harder in the last 5 years.
It's not like 2010 anymore, where you could just be the Windows guy and know everything you needed to know.
No, now you have this alphabet soup of compliance. IPO, CMMC, SOC2, PCI DSS.
Take CMMC for defense contractors. The logging requirements alone are just incredibly complex. You need to be an expert in that one thing.
And can a generalist IT manager really be an expert in CMMC and troubleshoot a printer and configure a firewall?
No. It's impossible. And that's the force multiplier effect. You don't need to go hire a full-time compliance officer for $150,000 a year. You tap into your partner's expert for the 10 hours a month you actually need them.
So you get access to their whole bench of specialists.
Exactly. Same for advanced security, EDR, SIEM tuning. These are deep, specialized skills. You're getting the benefit of a dozen certifications without having to pay for a dozen salaries.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. This all sounds great on paper. I'm the head chef, you do the prep work, but there's a trust gap. If I'm the internal IT manager, my reputation is on the line. If the sous chef burns the sauce, I'm the one who gets yelled at. How do you bridge that gap?
That is the single biggest hurdle. And the answer isn't just trust. It's a contract. It's the SLA, the service level agreement.
The source material put some hard numbers on this. Let's look at those.
They do. They commit to a response time of 15 minutes or less for a priority one issue. And P1 means the company is at a standstill.
15 minutes is? That's aggressive. I know internal teams that take longer than that just to acknowledge the email.
It is. And they have a resolution target of 4 hours. But the key isn't the number itself. It's the penalty. They mention service credits. If they miss that window, they owe you money.
That aligns incentives really, really fast. It's not a best effort promise anymore. It's a financial liability for them if they fail.
Correct. And for their monitored systems, a 99.9% uptime guarantee. Again, backed by credits. It just moves the whole conversation from feelings and trust into hard metrics.
Let's be on the money for a minute, the economics. Because my gut assumption is that hiring a partner is always going to be more expensive than just hiring a junior tech.
You have to look at the total cost.
Yeah.
Let's say you're drowning and you want to hire a tier one person. In a place like Orange County, the source says that salary is going to be, what, $55,000 to $75,000?
That's benefits, payroll taxes, a laptop, software licenses.
Plus the hidden killer. Your time training them. If you hire a junior tech, you spend the first 3 months basically holding their hand. Your own productivity actually goes down at first.
And then 6 months later, after you've trained them, they get a better offer and leave.
It's a brutal cycle. So now compare that to the co-managed cost. The source breaks it down per user.
The numbers were surprisingly low, like $15 to $35 a user per month for just the help desk part.
Right. So do the math. You have 50 users. At the top end, $35. That's $700 and $750 a month. or $21,000 a year.
Which is a third of the cost of one junior salary, and no benefits, no training time for me.
And you get a whole team, not just one person. You get coverage when someone is sick. You get 24/7. Even if you go all in for the comprehensive package security, everything at, say, $100 a user, you're at $60,000 a year. That's still just the cost of one junior hire, but you're getting an entire enterprise-grade security stack.
The flexibility is interesting, too. The source mentioned month-to-month options.
That's huge for a CFO. A new hire is a fixed cost. It's a commitment. This is a variable cost. You can scale up for a big project and scale back down. It de-risks everything.
Okay, so the sous chef is cost-effective. They handle the grunt work. We get to the so what moment. The plate is clear. The noise is gone. What does the head chef actually do all day?
This is the strategic pivot. And honestly, for some IT managers, this is the scariest part because they've been hiding behind the busy work.
It's a comfort zone, right? Fixing printers is easy to measure. I closed 10 tickets today. Strategy is fuzzier.
It is, yeah. But it's where all the value is. The source calls it the new to-do list. And number one is strategic technology planning.
What does that actually mean in practice?
It means you're in the leadership meeting, not as the computer guy, but as a business partner. You're saying, I see we want to expand next year. Here's the tech roadmap to make that happen. Or if we implement this AI tool, we can cut data entry time by 20%.
You're solving business problems with technology, not just solving technology problems.
Exactly. You manage vendor relationships. You have time to actually negotiate contracts and save the company real money. You can finally lead those big projects like a cloud migration that change everything.
And what about your internal team, if you have one?
You finally get to mentor them. Instead of just yelling about the ticket queue, you can help them get certified. You can build a real culture. You move from being a fixer to a leader.
I want to help our listeners do a little self-diagnosis here because it's easy to hear this and think, yeah, sounds nice, but I've got it under control. The source has a checklist, 7 signs you need help.
Let's run through them. And if you're listening, be honest with yourself. Number one, the ticket queue is never, ever zero. You always leave work with that weight on your shoulders.
You never feel done. Okay, what's two?
Strategic projects are delayed for years, not months, years. That cloud migration has been on the to-do list since 2023.
The someday pile, where great ideas go to die.
Number three, vacation anxiety. You're physically on a beach, but mentally you're in the server room because you're the only one who knows the passwords.
Ugh, that's a fast track to burnout.
Number four is the big one, security paranoia. Your CEO asks, are we safe from that new ransomware attack?
Yeah.
And your honest answer is, I hope so, instead of yes, and here's a report that proves it.
That I hope so is terrifying.
Number five, a clear skills gap. You know you need Azure skills, but nobody on your team has them. Six, user satisfaction is dropping. And seven.
What's the last one?
Staff turnover. Your best people are leaving because they're tired of being firefighters. They want to be architects.
So if you're checking off 3 or 4 of those, it's not a rough patch. It's a systemic problem.
It is. And the solution isn't to just work harder. It's to change the model.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We've talked about the tasks, the money, the strategy. What's the one big thing you want people to take away from this deep dive?
I think it's about the evolution of the IT role itself. 10 years ago, IT was a utility. Like the plumbing. You only noticed it when it was broken.
Right. Nobody ever says, hey, great job with the electricity today.
Exactly. But today, IT is the business. It's your competitive edge. It's how you find customers. It's your intellectual property. And you cannot drive that kind of value if you're stuck under a desk plugging in a cable. Co-managed IT isn't about replacing you. It's about liberating you to do the job you were actually hired for.
Leveraging a partner to handle the tactical so you can finally focus on the strategic.
Precisely.
So I want to leave everyone with a final thought on opportunity cost. We spent a lot of time talking about the cost of hiring help, but I want you to flip that around. Calculate the cost of not hiring help.
That's the real number, the scary number.
Think about that one big project that's been gathering dust on your desk. The one that could save the company, I don't know, $100,000 a year, or generate $500,000 in new revenue, and it's been delayed for 2 years because you're too busy resetting passwords.
The cost of not acting just completely dwarfs the cost of a contract.
That delay is costing you so much more than a sous chef ever would. The danger isn't asking for help. The real danger is letting the whole kitchen burn down because you insisted on chopping all the vegetables yourself.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's it for this deep dive. Now go check your restore logs, not just the backup logs, the restore logs, and we'll catch you next time.